City Counselling on 95BFM, our weekly chat with the good people of Auckland Council.
Yes, welcome to our new regular segment with Auckland Council. Each week we will talk to a councillor about local issues in Tāmaki Makaurau. Shane Henderson this week, I spoke to him about the long-term plan, which has recently closed, the government review, the budget and parrots. I started off by asking him if he was happy with the public input for the long-term plan.
Yeah, to be honest, I was hoping for a lot more input. We ended up with 19,000 submissions, which sounds kind of impressive as a raw number, but when you look at it as Auckland's population and also in the emergency budget where we got about 38,000 submissions, it was a little lower than I was expecting.
What were people like submitting about?
Yeah, I think that by majority, people were supporting the budget that we put out to them, and especially in the Waitakere ward that I'm most familiar with. And a couple of things we put out to people was a 5% rates increase in the first year, and then 3.5% thereafter, which is kind of the standard baseline. And the reason for that, without going into it in too much detail, is that we're a growth city that need to fund infrastructure for new housing, but also in a situation where COVID-19 has really smashed our public revenue. And people are still expecting the services that they've enjoyed for so long. So that was one thing, and there were two other things really quickly. The other one was climate action. So we've told Aucklanders, look, we've got a climate emergency, we need to act. And this budget has actually set out, well, here's some of the things we're planning to do, and do you agree with that? And huge majority of people saying, look, we need climate action now. And actually, the people that didn't agree with our budget, a lot of them said, you've got to do more, actually, rather than less. And finally, we consulted people on things like water quality and natural environment and community facilities, all the things that council provide that in a lot of cases people don't necessarily think of as a council activity that they have control over. But yeah, we put out to people what they saw the future of those places are, yeah.
So the consultation for the long-term plan has closed and it's due to be announced July 1st. What's sort of the process from here?
Yeah, so from here, you've given us your feedback, so at the moment we're reading it. I've got about 5,000 pages to read, and that's just the Waitakere ward.
Wow.
And yeah. And so we are going to debate it as a council, and we're going to sit around as 20 councillors and the mayor and say, look, here's what people are saying, and here's what we should be doing. And so we're going to thrash that all out as a group, and then we'll be voting on it at the end of that period in about June, and then we'll announce to the public where we've got to.
Are there any other key areas that you'd like to highlight in regards to the long-term plan?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I'm really passionate about is youth engagement. And we still have, fairly low numbers of youth engaging in the process. And I'm always telling people, I'm really encouraging people to kind of get out there, especially if you're a young person, because the decisions that we make now as a society, they affect you in a lot longer than if you're an older person. So if you're 60 and you've submitted on the long-term plan, you've got to live with that decision for, 20, 30 years. But if you're 20, you've got to live with that decision all the way into the future. And so things like climate change become really important for young people because they are living in the world that we're kind of talking in very scary terms about. So I'm always saying, look, for young people in particular, you please submit to our plans and also just engage with us whenever you want. Feel free to send me a text or a tweet or anything about how you feel the future of the city should be.
How do you feel like that Auckland Council engaged with young people throughout this process?
I think that Auckland Council have a fairly traditional method of engagement, which is we've got a set, and this is by legislation as well, so we've got a set period where we go out and say, please submit on these preset questions that we've done and go to a website and send it back to us. Where I think, in the modern world, you can tweet or call or text councillors 24/7. And so we need to tailor our approaches, I think, to conform to this kind of the social media reality of all of this, that we're always on call. It's not just a little set period of time. And also people can tell us whatever they like. It doesn't need to be just on these little questions. So I think we are starting down that path, but we've got a long way to go yet.
Moving on to the emergency budget the budget cuts that have, heaps of people have been quite complimentary of them. What have been kind of the consequences of these budget cuts?
Yeah, I didn't celebrate the budget cuts myself. I know there's plenty in the public that are expecting a savings and expecting cuts, and that's all fine because, you know, at the end of the day, it is people's rates bills. But when we're talking about budget cuts, we're looking at people's jobs and people's services potentially. So, you know, it's perfectly fine to say, look, council shouldn't be providing this in this way. But, you know, I don't celebrate it. But at the same time, I do let people know that we are doing what we're expected to do, which is make savings. So we've achieved $119 million of savings. So to put that into context, through the Henderson-Massey area, which is about 160,000 people in the city, we collected something like $95 million in rates that year. So for an entire huge section of that city, we've made more savings than we've collected in rates. So, you know, I want to applaud the organisation in a way for making these savings that people are expecting us to do. With staff costs below budget, professional services below budget, we've saved, for example, $1.3 million in our property costs as we consolidate our office spaces so that we're actually using things smarter and better. So, you know, travel costs as well are below budget. So there's definitely savings that we can make out there. I think it's just a complicated picture, if that makes sense.
Yeah, $119 million is a lot, and it's not like that money was being spent on nothing. What areas have been most impacted?
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways that the impacts are being sort of back office work, and you know, as I've said, things like our corporate property space and our travel and that kind of stuff. There's been voluntary cuts in pay through the COVID-19 period as well, and that's given us some pretty significant savings too. So those are the kind of things we're talking about, being a leaner and more efficient organisation.
Are staff worried by these cuts and by the future of their jobs?
Yeah, I think we should always be engaging with staff and this kind of stuff and working with the PSA, which is the union that works with staff as well. Because, you know, there are sometimes concerns, and we need to make sure that we allay those concerns and we make sure that people are safe in their jobs and happy and just working for the future of Auckland and are really proud to work for council. I'm really big on that. And so I think that, you know, we do need to keep engaging with people. That's right.
Nanaia Mahuta has announced a regional council review. What are your thoughts on this announcement?
Yeah, it's a pretty big review. It basically takes into account everything you think of in terms of local government. So how it's funded, what it does, the future of local government and how we represent people. I applaud the review. I'm really happy that we're doing it. I think that, you know, things like council's approval rating being lower than we'd like, submissions being lower than we'd like, we need to modernise, right? And I think that this review will help us really do that. But we've got to engage really strongly with that, and we've got to put up, you know, what people's hopes and dreams are in Auckland and how they want local government to fulfil them. That's the approach I'm going to take with the review.
And do you think that, I think I might leave that just because we're running out of time and I want to touch on parrots.
Parrots, yes.
Yeah. I understand there's quite angry parrot fans out there. Can you tell me about the story?
That's right, yeah. So we're going through the pest management plan review at the moment, basically saying, you know, these certain animals are pests, and while we're not going to go out necessarily and cull them, I wouldn't imagine kind of an Elmer Fudd style scenario. But it's not, but we're not encouraging people to breed them or to import them or, you know, we want a sort of a sinking lid policy on parrots, I guess you'd say. That has had backlash, and actually the Parrot Society of New Zealand and people that are really concerned about this are up in arms. And I actually really support that because we're in a democratic process. I think people coming out and saying, look, you got it wrong, I think that's a good thing. But at the same time, from our perspective, we are doing a precautionary approach. So we're basically saying, look, you know, we're taking into our advice the science of all of this and threats to native birds and native species. We need to weigh all that kind of stuff up. And so that's where the initial cut was. Now, what's happened is this has gone under review and three parrot species are now exempt. I'm just looking what they are. The sulfur-crested cockatoo, the galah and the eastern rosella were classified as pests, but are now got a reprieve, I understand. So that's where we're at the moment.
And that's due to the pressure from the Parrot Society?
That's right, yeah. And not just pressure, but I think informed debate and opinion, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, so people have quite big businesses in this area. It's how people make their income. You know, as the bans come into place over the next few years, that's going to be halted. What sort of support is in place for those people?
Yeah, I think one of the key measures of support is that we're talking about a longer time period in terms of a couple of years for it to be phased in. And this allows people to kind of adjust their businesses accordingly. I think we should make no apologies when we're talking about threats to native species. We need to be very clear and very careful in our biosecurity in this country. But at the same time, we need to give people maximum amount of time. We're talking about businesses, but people's livelihoods are. I mean, one of the best pet stores in the world, I think, has been open for 20, 30 years in my ward. I know it very well. We need to give people a chance to adjust their businesses accordingly, and so that's what we're doing.
Have you tried mindfulness? Try mindfulness.
City Counselling on 95 BFM.